Well, we're working through the book of 1 John at the moment, and I've called my series Back to Basics, and today we're looking at verses 3 to 6 of chapter 2 of 1 John. Just a few verses, and a lot of them will sound very familiar to what we have already read out of the book of 1 John. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Of course, it can be a her as well. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. Many people struggle with the idea of assurance of salvation. They're not sure, am I really a Christian? Am I really going to go to heaven? I've had to counsel many people over many years on this particular subject. I recall one very mature Christian person, very, very involved in the life of the church, serving the Lord Sunday after Sunday, yet wasn't sure whether they were going to go to heaven or not. I wonder if you've ever wondered why that is the case. Why are so many people unsure? I've listed a few reasons that I think could be the answer, but in the end I'm going to look at why we can know that we belong to Jesus. Well, the first reason that people often are unsure about salvation is that they have been let down by so many people through their lives that they just wonder, is God not going to let them down in the end as well? The sad reality is, friends, we're living in a world where trust is being destroyed. I think politicians have done that for us, haven't they? Every 4 years or 5 years, they come and make the world of promises. And it's not unique to South Africa. You go anywhere in the world, friends, and politicians make promises, and then the minute they're in power, they forget who we are, who put them there. And a lot of people, and I think particularly probably in South Africa, we're really struggling with the issue of trust. Who do we trust? Who do we trust with our future? Who do we trust in life? Sad reality is many people let us down. The second reason may be that many people struggle with the reality or the wonder of grace and mercy. A lot of people can't accept that all they need to do is receive a gift of salvation from God for them to be able to enter into eternity. All of our lives, friends, they hear, for you to achieve in life, you've got to do something. You've got to work hard at school. If you want to be a top sports person, you've got to put in the hours. You've got to be running every day and gymming every day to be able to be the kind of sports person that achieves in life. And so when it comes to salvation, they can't handle the idea of grace and mercy. They think they need to be doing something. And the sad reality is the vast majority of world's religions are like that. The vast majority of the world's religions, friends, are based in doing something for you to be able to achieve your salvation. And for anybody who knows or tries to do something to achieve their salvation, they'll very quickly realize that you can never do enough, friends. You can never do enough. You will always feel as if you have not done enough. Thirdly, many people feel that because they have committed a particular sin in their lives, that would exclude them from heaven. There is a theology taught mainly in the Roman Catholic Church and Lutherans as well, teach a theology of what are called mortal and venial sins. They will tell you that there are some sins that are mortal. That means if you've done those sins, you're doomed to death. And many people think, well, maybe I've committed one of those mortal sins. And maybe because I've committed one of those particular sins, God can't allow me into heaven. Let me tell you, friend, there is not a sin in this world that Jesus has not died for. There is nothing you can do that you can't be redeemed from. Jesus, friend, has made it possible. But many battle with us. They feel that because they've lived such a sinful life, that God must be angry with them just a little bit. So they're unsure of whether they're going to go to heaven. Fourthly, some people base their religion on their feelings. Sometimes they feel like they're saved, but then other times they don't feel like they're saved. Friend, if you're basing your faith on your feelings, it'll go up and down and up and down and up and down all the time. You'll never have assurance of salvation if it is based on your feelings. Because the sad reality is we all fail. We all feel low. Your faith, friends, needs to be built on the solid foundation of the Word of God. And then we're living in a time when there's a tremendous attack on the authority of Scripture. It's called the postmodern era. The era, friends, when the Bible has been rejected over and over and over again. Even although people have never read it for themselves, they reject it just because somebody else says it can't be true. And because there is such an attack on the Bible, many kind of feel that there's no ways for us to know what's going to happen in the future. We just got to kind of throw ourselves onto the future and whatever happens, happens. Friend, I don't want to enter the future that way. I don't know about you. I want to enter the future knowing what lies before me. And that's what John is writing about. In today's text, friends, John reminds us that we can know that we belong to Jesus. Remember the background to this text. The background to this message or this book, friends, is the writings of a man or the teachings of a man called Cerinthus. Cerinthus was a modern Christian or modern church leader that had grown up or lived after Jesus died. He had never met Jesus. And so by the time he became a Christian leader, he said, well, did this Jesus guy actually even exist? And he began to question the authenticity of whether Jesus truly existed and kind of led a whole lot of Christians into confusion. Friends, the sad reality is that that's still happening to today. Many false teachers who create doubt in the wonder and the truth of who Jesus is. John is reminding us, friends, of the basics of Christianity. And one of the basics of Christianity, friends, is that you can know that you belong to Jesus. So how can we know? There are some reasons. Number one, you can know that you belong to Jesus because you know that you have come to know that you know Him. You know that you have come to know that you know Him. You see, that's really what the Greek says here. In our English, it just says, we know that we have come to know Him. But the Greek, friends, the text of the Greek is very clear. It's a word of absolute certainty. We know we have come to know Him. You don't need to doubt at all. Cilinthus belonged to a group of people called Gnostics. Believe it or not, the word Gnostic means knowledge. And Cilinthus was teaching that if you wanted to know Jesus, you needed to have some special kind of knowledge to get to know Jesus. If you didn't have that special knowledge that only Cilinthus had, then you could never know who Jesus is. Friends, the reality is the basis of the Gnostic teaching, the teaching of Cilinthus, is actually the reality of sin because it is based on pride. Some people think they're better than others. And Cilinthus thought he was one of those. He thought he was better than other Christians. And so he taught them, well, if you want to know the way to eternal life, you've got to come to me and I will give you the answer to get to know the way to eternal life. But John says, you don't need Cilinthus. Because you know that you know that you know who Jesus is. There's no confusion here, friends. If you know who Jesus is, friends, then you know that you're going to go to heaven. The sad reality, friends, is what Cilinthus began 2,000 years ago has been perpetuated over and over again in the history of Christianity. There are many false sectarian religious believers or Christians, groups calling themselves Christians, who kind of say, if you want to really know how to get to heaven, you've got to follow our books. So the Mormons, they will say, Jesus is fine, but if you really want to know how to get to heaven, you've got to become a Mormon and follow the Book of Mormon. The Jehovah's Witnesses are exactly the same. They've got their own interpretation of the Bible. And if you want to become a Jehovah's Witness, friends, you've got to follow their particular interpretation of the Bible. They don't say, you just got to know Jesus. You've got to add all these other rules and regulations that they have added to them. That this thinking, friend, has been plaguing Christianity for many, many years. There are a group in the world known as the Illuminati. The Illuminati will say, well, if you really want to know, you've got to become one of the Illuminati. You've got to be illumined in your head to be filled with their knowledge so that you can kind of know deeper things. One of the great curses that the church faced for a very long time was a group of people known as Freemasons. Freemasons taught that if you want to get to the different levels of heaven, you have to pass through a whole lot of different levels of teaching and understanding so that in the end, maybe you become the master of the lodge. You become the one who decides who will enter into eternity. Friend, you don't need the Illuminati. You don't need the Masons. The sad reality is there are many television preachers who do the same today. They will say, if you really want to know Jesus, you must buy my holy water. Because if you drink my holy water, then you will really know who Jesus is. Some will say, if you really want to know who Jesus is, you've got to come and be experience the Holy Spirit in this particular way. And if you don't experience the Holy Spirit in this particular way, then you're less of a Christian. You can't be a true Christian. But John reminds us, friends, of one simple reality. We know who Jesus is. And we don't need anything else except what Jesus has to offer us. Friends, that's the first reason why you can know. If you know Jesus. If you know that you have come into a living experience with Him, friends, you don't need anything else. So, friends, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, I should point to Jesus. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. Not the one who believes in Muhammad or Joseph Smith or Pete Pompey's, whoever it may be, friends. It's, do you believe Jesus? Look what he says. Jesus says in John 8 verse 31, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So how can you know? Well, you can know that you know because you know that you know Jesus. We know we are Christians when Jesus is our focus. Number two, you can know that you really belong to Jesus when you seek to obey what He taught us to do. Look what He says at the end of verse 3 and 4. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Friends, if the first test of true faith is focusing on the teaching of Jesus and who He is, the second test of true faith is obedience to the faith, obedience to the truth of Jesus. The focus of verse 4, friends, is the person who is full of hot air. They talk a lot about Christianity, but they never live it out. They can quote the Bible. They can tell you how you must live. They can give you all the rules and regulations. But when you ask them where they are, They're nowhere to be found. They're not obeying Jesus. Their lives are a mess. They're far away from the truth of who Jesus is. Being a Christian, friend, is knowing that you know him, but also trying to be like him every day. Friend, Jesus doesn't tell you you've got to be better than the next person. Jesus never asks you to compare yourself to other Christians. Jesus always says, follow me. That's how we know. How do we know that we're better than him? How do we know that we belong to Jesus? It's not that we are better than others, friends. It's that we are becoming better than ourselves as the day goes by. God wants us not to compare ourselves to others, but to compare ourselves to who we were. And if we're still the same as what we were, friends, there is a danger. Because we're not growing as a Christian then. We need to daily be growing as a Christian. That's how we know. Jesus said in Matthew 19, if you want to enter into eternal life, obey my commands. That's what he said. I'm not telling you to do this. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. He says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. So what Paul is saying is, the rules and regulations of what the church or believers may have, that's not important. This is what he says. Keeping God's commands is what counts. So friend, if the first reason you can know that you are belonging to Jesus is that you know him, the second reason you can be sure that you belong to Jesus is if you are obeying him. I'm not saying we'll always be perfect. We will fail, friends. But friends, daily we need to be striving to be a better me than I was yesterday. Because the more I obey Jesus, the more I follow Jesus, the more real he becomes to me. Thirdly, we can know that we belong to Jesus when our trust or our faith has stood the test of time. Verse 5 in the NIV says, but if anyone obeys his words, God's love is truly made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The International Standard Version of this translation of this particular verse is the best one I could find. It says this, whoever continually keeps his word is the kind of person in whom God's love has truly been perfected. This is how we can be sure that we are in union with him. The word obeyed, friends, in Greek has a number of different meanings. There are just some of them. It means to keep watch, to guard over, to mark attentively, to observe practically, to keep strictly, to persevere, to shield, to store up, to reserve, to keep in custody, to maintain, to keep a condition, friends. The point John is making is that the longer we stay true to Christ, the more we will sense that we belong to him. God's love is truly made complete in that person. what it means is, friends, if you are committed to Jesus over a period of time, you will become teleost. Do you know the school that we have here is called teleos? And the word teleos means to be made complete. That's our motto at the school. We want to take the children and make them complete. We want to give them knowledge. We want to show them love. We want to teach them about the Bible. We want to encourage them. I had a real blessing this last week. I had a real rough day one day, and I kind of asking myself, Lord, do we really have to go through this every day? And I walked out, I was working on the computer here at the church, and I walked out, and there was a tall Dale boy walking around the hallway. It was about 11:45. I thought, rather strange that a boy from Dale is walking around our school at the moment. So I met him in the kitchen. He walked towards the kitchen there, and I thought, let me cut him off and see what he's doing here. Thought maybe he's coming to do something wrong here. And as I met him in the kitchen, he said, hello, Pastor, do you remember me? I didn't, because he's like 6 inches taller than he was when I last saw him. He gave me his name and he shook my hand. Then he said to me, and I was so encouraged, he says, Pastor, do you still teach the children the Bible when you have assembly with them? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, I miss those days. What an encouragement. What an encouragement that was to me. Friend, as we walk with the Lord, we don't know what we're leaving there. We're planting seeds. We're tilling the ground. We're working with the Lord, with the Lord's work. There are many things, friends, that get better over time. A lot of foodstuffs. They say wine ages. I don't know, I'm not a drinker, so I'm not sure, but that's what they say. But I know cheese is one of those. I like old stinky cheese. To me, it's best when it smells its worst. But friends, it's grown. It's fermented. It's got more cheesy as time goes by. And we're the same. The more time we spend with God, the more we know we belong to Him. So we know that we are His if He's our focus. We know we belong to Him if we obey Him. And we know we belong to Him, friends, if we endure. But finally, we know we belong to Jesus when all we want to do is to be more like Him. Surely that must be in your heart as a Christian. When I was younger, I kind of, you know, there were lots of things that kind of drew my attention. But the older I get, the more I want to study about God. Listen to the Apostle Paul. I can do no better than just read what Paul says in Philippians. He says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider them loss for Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For whose sake, I'm willing to lose everything. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness that is my own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And then he writes, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, becoming like Him in death, somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward that which is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friend, how will you know that you know Jesus? When all you want to do is know Jesus. How will you know Him? When everything else, friends, becomes less important and Jesus becomes the center of it all.